I'm Jillian Johnsrud, wife, mom of six, writer, speaker, and coach. Over the last 20 years, I've sought out the ideas, stories, and tools that helped me to become financially independent, to find work that I'm passionate about, and live with more intention. I know these will empower you on your journey. Welcome to Everyday Courage. Everybody, I am Jillian Johnsrud. I'm so excited to be talking to you about this idea of what kind of relationship we have with money and how all of those thoughts and emotions really impact the results we get. So today, I didn't want to talk to you all by myself. I invited one of my best online friends and in real life friends, Nick True, to come and kind of help us just have this conversation. Nick runs Mapped Out Money. He has a website and a great YouTube channel and a new podcast, and you will love him too. So you should check out his stuff. Thank you so much for helping me out, Nick.
Yeah, of course. I'm always glad to help you out. I'm glad to be here. So I'm a naturally inquisitive person anyways, so I can always ask questions. I guess to get us started, I'd like to just know some context and background. So tell us about your relationship with money when you were growing up. What did that look like?
For me, we always kind of grew up right at or below the poverty line, and it was definitely the scarcity. Like there was never extra money, but oftentimes it didn't even feel like there was enough money. It was just a constant, ever-present conversation and mood in the home. I remember when I was probably in like second or third grade, I remember every night when I went to bed, I would say my little evening bedtime prayer. And one of the three things I prayed about was I prayed that we would win the lottery. Winning the lottery was a big thing in our house. Whenever the jackpot was big, my parents would buy a ticket and we would just like sit around and be like, oh my gosh, if we won the lottery. And I really believed if we win the lottery, all of these money problems are going to go away. Yeah. Like it would totally transform all of this stress and this fear and this anxiety that we have around money. But it was interesting when I started doing money coaching like 12 years ago. I was in my mid-20s and my very first client had inherited money from her father. She had inherited his IRA and it was a substantial amount of money. And we were both in our 20s working in DC, but her relationship with money was still super unproductive. She had a good paying job. She had all of these investments. Her emotions and her thoughts around budgeting and around investing, like she hated budgeting. She hated feeling like she was being told what to do. She hated creating a plan. And she was terrified of her investments. She was terrified to even understand what they were. She was terrified to look at the cost of them. She was terrified to shift any money around because it brought up all these insecurities and all these emotions. And I had realized, wow, it doesn't really change when you have more money. It doesn't really change when you are making more money. Those underlying relationships with money, it takes work and effort to change them. Time and circumstance don't always do it.
That's interesting because you had prayed to win the lottery and then your friend, maybe not the big jackpot, but sort of got her own lottery in a way. And you sort of saw how that relationship played out. Okay. So when it comes to you and in your relationship with money and your results, or maybe even others, how do you think the relationship that you had with money has impacted the results that you've gotten or in general, anybody's relationship with money and the type of results, financial results that they would get?
Yeah, I think it's important to understand how we do get results. Sometimes when people talk about relationship with money, it sounds very woo-woo and very like we're aligning our chakras with like the energy in the universe. And if we just like feel it, it will attract itself to us. I don't know. Maybe that's true. I haven't noticed it in my life. But in a very practical standpoint, the results we get are a result of the actions we take. Like that makes sense. We take certain actions. We get certain results. So then the question is like, how do we manage to take actions? How do we get ourselves to do things?
Yeah. So with that in mind, then, if you're saying, okay, the way that we do it is to take actions, dig in a little deeper there. What kind of actions do you feel like we need to be taking with our money?
Well, to take a step back, it's also understanding what motivates those actions. Okay. Most of our actions are driven by habit, like 40% of the actions we take, thoughts that we think, or emotions that we feel. In general, that represents a large majority of the actions we take. So we think, oh man, a cup of coffee sounds really fantastic. I'm going to go grab one. And we go do that. We have the habit of brushing our teeth in the morning. So we do that. Maybe we're, you know, in a global pandemic, we're like, oh, I feel really stressed. And you see a brownie on the counter, you go, I'll eat that. That'll make me feel better. So this is what's driving our actions. It's not random, the actions that we take. And habits are really formed by actions taken repeatedly. So to develop a habit, it's just thoughts and feelings that are driving that habit. It's, you know, if you want to start putting on sunscreen in the morning, maybe you put a little note on your mirror that says put on sunscreen, and you see it and you think, ah, yes, I'm gonna put on sunscreen. And you do it enough times, it becomes a habit. What happens in our relationship with money is we can have some really unhelpful thoughts and emotions that drive unhelpful habits and unhelpful actions. And it's kind of like saying, well, I want to lose weight. That means I should go to the gym. But what if every time you walked in the gym, you felt tremendous anxiety? You felt tremendous shame. You felt judgment by everyone looking at you. And all the thoughts you're thinking are, I can never do this. I'm such a failure. Everyone thinks that I'm fat and that I don't know what I'm doing. If that's all of your emotion and thought, it's going to be so hard to take that action long enough for it to become habit.
Yeah. So I can see that. So your relationship with money is affecting it, just like if you're feeling anxiety about going to the gym. How do we know if our relationship with money is healthy? Is there a way to even diagnose something like that?
Yeah, I think I keep my money plan pretty simple. I'm kind of like, you have to grow the gap, guard the gap. And the gap is the difference between your income and your expenses. So even with my clients, the three main things you have to do, you have to be able to track your income. You have to track. So your income, your expenses, your net worth. You have to build a plan. And which is your budget, that's fixed expenses, flexible, and the money you're going to allocate to something. And then you have to allocate towards debt, long-term and short-term goals. That's it. Three categories, 9 steps. It's actually not tremendously complicated if all of our thoughts and all of our emotions around those things are healthy. During this pandemic, I have been pandemic schooling my children at home. And I'm trying to help my sixth grader with his math, which you would think, like, I work in personal finance.
Yeah.
I work around a lot of numbers. I cannot figure this out. It is so hard. Every question I'm like, okay, we got to watch the tutorial. Like, I don't know. Personal finance is way easier than sixth grade math. That I can assure you. So kind of diagnosing if our relationship with these three categories is healthy. If you think about tracking all of your expenses, you can ask the question, how do you expect that will go? And your mind will autofill some of those thoughts. Either you'll think, oh, this is going to be so easy. I love looking at where my money's going. I love seeing where I'm spending. I feel super comfortable. Like that's going to be a really enjoyable way. It makes me feel empowered. It makes me feel secure when I do that. Those are helpful things that would move you towards helpful habits and actions that will get you probably the results you're looking for. If you come to tracking expenses and you go, your thoughts are like in what you expect from this. If you say, I don't know how to do this. I don't want to see this. And it triggers thoughts of, I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm going to feel shame. I'm going to feel judged. I'm going to feel stupid because how do I not even know where my money's going? All of those thoughts aren't going to make it be like, you know what would be fun on a Friday night? You know what I really want to do this weekend? I want to track my expenses.
I'm going to take a quick break and talk about Camp Progress, where personal growth is made fun. Camp Progress is kind of like summer camp, We learn new skills and new perspectives while having fun with like-minded people. It's also affordable and convenient, like community college. They're live online classes with me as your teacher. And it's all on personal growth topics. First up, we have one on boundaries. We have a class on life design and setting goals and habits. And we have a class on how to master your money, 9 steps to be confident with your personal finances. All of these classes are designed to help you make progress in your money, your work, your goals, and your relationships. Head to jillianjohnsrud.com/events, and you can use the coupon code EC10 for an extra 10% off. EC as in Everyday Courage, 10. I hope to see you guys in the class.
We kind of talked about, we know the actions you're saying we need to take, sort of these 9 steps. It almost sounds like we need self-awareness, though, around how we're feeling or what comes up when we are trying to take those steps. In a second, I want to ask about maybe if we recognize we have some unhealthy relationship with money, how can we change it? But before I do, can you give us context around the self-awareness piece? Is there a way that we know like where this relationship with money even came from in the first place and sort of how to come up with that?
Yeah, our relationship with money starts forming as soon as we know that money exists and what it does. We start developing feelings and thoughts about that. You know, you might be the kid walking through the store and you see toys and you're like, I want to buy this. And you might start to associating spending money means having fun. It means being excited. Spending money equals happiness because every time you spent money, you felt happy. So you develop that emotional memory towards spending money and you have this thought process of what it means. So it comes from as soon as we start having those experiences. And in our childhood, it's seeing to a large part how our parents handled money and what their emotions and what their thoughts were around that. And sometimes we just inherit it. We say, oh, that's what money means? Okay, I just believe you. I believe that that's what money means. But sometimes it is our personality mixing with what we see our parents' relationship with money is. So sometimes you will have kids in the same family. They have the same context happening around them, but they interpret a different story. One kid sees their parents having paycheck to paycheck and blowing all of the extra money on beer and cigarettes and like, you know, fast food and lottery tickets. And they think, yeah, there's never enough money. So if you have money, you better spend it because you might not have money next week. And they might develop this idea of there's no point in saving money because we don't even have enough for right now. Like that's a really common view of investing. But another kid might see the situation and go, if you waste money, I feel scared. And I feel like we might not have food. And I feel insecure. It doesn't make me feel happy. It makes me feel scared. And so in a relationship, in your childhood, you know, you can come up with kids who have very different takes.
Yeah.
They just interacted with that different emotionally, and they have a different story around it.
Yeah. I can totally see that thinking through like how my parents interact with money and then how different my brother and I think about it too and the way that's played out. Okay, so going back to the other question then, if we do have a little bit of self-awareness around where it came from, now we're recognizing it. If we recognize that it's unhealthy, how do we go about changing it?
Yeah, we have to really start by knowing what it is. And most people honestly don't have that moment of pause to say, what am I feeling in this moment? You know, we feel an emotion and we pivot away from it, especially if it's a negative one. We feel anxiety, we feel shame, we feel judgment, and we go, oh, I need to avoid that. Like, let's stop whatever's happening that's creating this. And that's a really normal response. Like, that's to some degree, it's a healthy response. You know, if you're in danger, you should pivot away from danger. But there's a difference between danger and discomfort. Engaging with your money might feel uncomfortable, but it's not dangerous. But our brain kind of has a hard time telling the difference between discomfort and danger. It kind of lumps them together sometimes.
Yeah. So if we recognize, if we can recognize what the difference is, I think even just knowing that there is a difference can help us recognize that. If we can recognize, like, okay, this is just discomfort, and I need to find a way to, I need to find a way to do something different here. What does that process look like for moving past that and being able to overcome an unhealthy relationship with money?
I would say anytime, and this is kind of like anytime you work with someone or engage in anything that's outside of your comfort zone and outside of your experience. As humans, we have very predictable things that help with things outside of our comfort zone and outside of our experience. And 90% of the time, that looks like a container that has a process and a person in it. You know, why do we go to college? To learn this large academic thing. Yeah. Typically, because it's outside of our experience, and maybe it's outside of our comfort zone. So we say, well, okay, this is a process, the curriculum, the courses, the progression that makes sense. And there's people involved to kind of keep me on track. And it moves us through. You know, or even if you have a sports injury and you're like, I want to resolve this. You probably go to a physical therapist, the person, and they have a process that they're going to say, here's the exercises. They're going to get you through it. So as people, that's generally how we do new things that are outside of our comfort zone. A process and a person. And this is the same thing. Time isn't going to change this. Just hoping it will change is not actually a strategy. You need some sort of process and some sort of person. And it can look a lot of different ways. It could be maybe a workbook that you go through. It could be a course. It could be group coaching or a retreat or any sort of thing where there's like steps and some thought through process. And there's some sort of person. And that might just be like a really smart money friend who will help you through this process, who can, when you're starting to think these thoughts or engage these feelings, help you slow down and say, wait, let's articulate what exactly is going through your head and what exactly are you feeling so you have a chance to self-correct. And self-correct looks like when you say something out loud and then you instantly realize that it's not true. Mm. It's like with budgeting, you say, I hate to budget because it's going to take away all my freedom. But as soon as you say it, you go, actually, maybe I used to think that, but I've since learned that's not exactly how it works. And it gives you the opportunity to rewrite that story and to kind of self-correct and like extinguish the old story that you used to have. So it could be a friend. It could be like if you went to a retreat, there would be a facilitator that would help you, you know, but you need some sort of person typically to help you through that process. Especially in this, because we can have really big and unhelpful thoughts and feelings around finances. And it's not, oftentimes we mix up this idea of like, well, if you don't have a lot of money or you don't earn a lot of money, then you have an unhealthy relationship with it. But if you earn a lot of money and you have a lot of money, then you have a good relationship with money. And you've worked with a lot of high earners with their budgeting.
Yep.
There is not a correlation. No. Oftentimes I find more money actually exasperates the problem.
Yep.
Because oftentimes high earners went into their chosen field, partly because they were interested in it and it was their passion, but partly because they liked the idea of being a high earner.
That's right.
And in a high earning field, typically people feel very competent. They feel very successful. They've achieved something, and that's their identity, to engage with their personal finances. If their personal finances aren't congruent with their sense of identity that they have in their career, there is so much more shame because they think, I'm a smart person. Like, I can figure stuff out. Why am I such an idiot about this?
Yeah.
How is this such a mess? How is it that I'm making $200,000 a year and I'm living paycheck to paycheck? Like, what idiot? What the hell have I done? Why am I such a failure in this area of my life?
Yep.
And if that's kind of the emotional undercurrent, Of course you're going to avoid it. Of course you don't want to engage with it. Like, you'll just, the thought process typically is, I'll just focus on the thing I'm good at.
Yep.
And that's my job and making money. And hopefully I can just out-earn this problem.
No, I love that. I think there's a number of things you said there that was really insightful. One, I totally agree. What I've seen is that money does not change the person. It typically just exposes what's already going on underneath. And so it brings that to light. And that's why you have a lot of very wealthy people who are extremely generous and great and kind and very giving. And then you have a lot who aren't, right? And it tends to expose what's inside. I also liked what you said with the process and the person. I know for me, having people in my life that I can talk to about how I'm feeling about money and what that looks like has been incredibly helpful for creating positive change. So I think that's really important.
I'm going to take a quick break and talk about Camp Progress, where personal growth is made fun. Camp Progress is kind of like summer camp. We learn new skills and new perspectives while having fun with like-minded people. It's also affordable and convenient, like community college. They're live online classes with me as your teacher. And it's all on personal growth topics. First up, we have one on boundaries. We have a class on life design and setting goals and habits. And we have a class on how to master your money, 9 steps to be confident with your personal finances. All of these classes are designed to help you make progress in your money, your work, your goals, and your relationships. Head to jillianjohnsrud.com/events and you can use the coupon code EC10 for an extra 10% off. EC as in everyday courage, 10. I hope to see you guys in the class.
Give us an idea of what happens if we don't do this. If we just let whatever our, you know, childhood relationship with money that developed, just sort of letting that stay the same, what happens?
Yeah, I think especially for parents that I work with, one of their greatest fears is, I'm just going to pass this on to my kids.
Yeah.
You know, I have this dysfunctional relationship with money, and that might be around budgeting. It might be around spending. It might be around investing, like whatever that looks like. And that can be another confusing point for people, is that we can have a really helpful relationship with one of those three categories, but not necessarily all of them.
Yeah.
Some people are amazing at tracking. They're amazing at budgeting, and they're absolutely terrified of investing.
Yeah.
And their stories and emotions around that are unhelpful. Or some people are good at investing. Like, they max out their 401k, but their relationship with planning and budgeting triggers all those old childhood things of what that means. So for each of those kind of 9 steps, there might be one that you could develop a healthier relationship with. So I think that's one of the concerns, is that we'll pass this on to our kids. The other negative outcome is that the thing that you're doing to resolve it might not resolve it. Like we talked about, if you're a high earner, you might just be trying to out-earn this problem.
Yeah.
And it's almost impossible, because I know people who earn $1 million a year and are still terrified to budget. More money doesn't necessarily fix it. Sometimes it can amplify it. You know, you look at like the lottery.
Yep.
How in the world people who have a healthy relationship with money, or anyone, thinks, how can you get $5, $10, $50 million and lose all of it? Like, how is that even humanly possible? Yeah. And yet that's the most consistent outcome for lottery winners, is they go bankrupt because apparently $50 million can't even fix an unhealthy relationship with money.
No.
Or there's another side of it. And I know we've been talking a lot about people who, you know, maybe high spenders, or people who avoid it that way. But on the other side, I've had a lot of clients who are really good at budgeting. They do it. They're really good at planning and tracking and investing. But the underlying relationship with money is one of fear and scarcity.
Yeah.
And so those are the folks that will accumulate a lot of money. And especially, you know, if we talk about the FIRE movement, financial independence, retire early, they might be able to get there in the financial independence, because that underlying relationship with money supported the actions and the results that they were after. But if one of the results that they would like is to enjoy their money, to actually retire early, to have it give them more options and to use those options, some of those old narratives, well, they might take you from point A to point B, they will not take you from point B to point C. And so you have to start to rewrite some of those stories, rewrite some of those emotions, or like some of my high net worth clients, you know, I have clients who have $3 to $8 million and are terrified to retire. They're terrified to earn less. They're terrified to make changes in their life or to start to spend money in a way that actually make their life better, because more money did not change that relationship. Like maybe they hoped it would. But I think the good news around this is that it's not actually tremendously complicated. It's not like sixth grade math complicated.
Right.
It just takes a little bit of a process and a person. The really beautiful thing is that once you master this relationship with money and you make it healthy in a way that supports the results you want, that can help you take those actions and develop those habits, then money, oh my gosh, it just becomes so stress-free. It becomes so easy. It becomes enjoyable. Like you feel like I'm taking care of my money. My money is taking care of me. This is like a happy marriage between us. Like we support each other's goals. Yep. We like spending time together, you know, and then you kind of get that outcome. And so when you see people who have that relationship with money where it just feels almost effortless.
Yeah.
And full of joy, and it's like fun and playful and easy. That is also possible if you change this underlying current of how you think and feel about finances.
I love it. So we've got the simple tactical of growing the gap and guarding the gap with this introspective and sometimes working with another person so we can even reveal what we're thinking about our money to understand the emotional side of where we can all get hung up. I know I've got plenty of those hangups and have had to work through them myself. So, well, this is awesome, Jillian. Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you feel like you need to say to kind of wrap this up? I think it was really good.
You know, I just want to encourage people that it can be different. You know, you can transform this relationship with money, and then the results that you want don't have to feel like, they don't feel impossible. They don't feel stressful. They don't feel unrealistic. You can much more easily naturally move towards those because all of those thoughts and feelings are supporting the habits. And if habits are like 40% of our life, your personal finance kind of becomes autopilot. And you don't even, other than like an enjoyable money day,
focus on other things. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's a huge misconception that people who are really good with money and have acquired money just obsess about it all the time.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the people I know who have amassed a good net worth and have a healthy relationship with money, they're like, oh my gosh, I almost feel bad how little time I spend thinking about it or planning it. Like it's just, it does become so effortless. So yeah, I definitely want to encourage that. And thank you so much, Nick. This is Nick Truer again, my lovely co-host in this process. And I'm Jillian Johndrude. And yeah,
and you can find Jillian Johndrude at JillianJohndrude.com. So easy.
Yes. So easy. Thank you guys.
Thank y'all.
If these ideas are what you needed today, hit subscribe. But if you want to go further, go to choosefi.com/courage. We've created free resources to walk you through this journey, to take these ideas and to transform them into action and results in your life. Invite a friend, your sister, a partner to join you on this adventure. Get your free resources at choosefi.com/courage. Let's do this together. Let's get started.